ॐ श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ सहनावतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः। Yeah, so now today we'll start with the first verse of the Gita. Dhritarashtra uvacha dharma kshetre kurukshetre samavetaya yatsavah mamakah pandavashchaiva kimakurvata sanjaya. So Gita starts with Dhritarashtraha uvacha. So Dhritarashtra is a character in the Mahabharata. So he is the father of Duryodhana. So as I said, most of these names, probably all the names in the Mahabharata and many of the Puranas, I believe. So the names need not have been their actual names. Actually, probably they're not their actual names. So, Dhritarashtraha. Also, the meaning of the word is Dhritaha Rashtraha Yena or Dhritam Rashtram Yena. So, by whom the country is held together, by who is ruling the country. Because he was the king. So even though Duryodhana was the crown prince, so but still Dhritarashtra was the king of the country. And he has been the king for quite some time. So that is why he is called Dhritarashtra. So when you understand the meaning, so it is quite obvious that it may not have been his original name. When he was born, so that too he was born blind. So they may not have been very sure that only he is going to be the king. Even though he was the eldest, he was the elder one of the two brothers. And by custom, the kingdom would have gone to him. But still to have, for the parents to keep the name as Dhritarashtra, so not doesn't sound too possible. So, but still, because here he is called Dhritarashtra, because he ruled over, Vyasa probably gave him the name Dhritarashtra, because he ruled over the kingdom. So, what I'm trying to say is, it is a good idea to understand the meaning of each of the names that we see. So then it reveals a lot about the character of the person. So the qualities of the person. So the role and then, his responsibilities. So all that the name reveals. That's why Arjuna also had so many names. Krishna had so many names. So from different standpoints. Again, as I said, every text is supposed to start with a prayer. So Dhritarashtra could also be a name for the Almighty, could also be a name for the Lord, because he is the one who is holding the whole universe together. So there Rashtra could mean the whole universe. So one who is in charge of the whole universe. So technically he is the king of the whole universe. So that is why it could also be a name for the Lord. And because the text, even though it is in the middle of the Mahabharata, the Bhagavad Gita, so but we study it as a standalone text. So the requirement of having a prayer at the beginning of the text, so that is also satisfied. See, this is how these traditional people somehow try to justify a prayer. So if nothing else, at least Om. So then that's good enough. But the requirement is a very strict requirement, is that nothing should ever be started without a prayer. In fact, the rule was so strict that they say if anyone starts anything without a prayer, or anyone starts a text without a prayer, then one should not even read the text. So straight away it is trashed. So straight away it is sent to the dustbin. So garbage. So that is that strict was the requirement. So this Gita also, because it starts with Dhritarashtra, which indirectly refers to the Lord, to the Almighty. So it satisfies the requirement of having a prayer. So then Dhritarashtra's question. Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre Samavetaha Yuyutsavaha Mamakaha Pandavaha Cha Eva Kim Akurvata Sanjaya. So this war, whatever happened in the war, so this was narrated to Dhritarashtra by Sanjay. In fact, the whole of the Gita is a dialogue within a dialogue already. So the main dialogue is between Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra. So Sanjaya is narrating whatever happened on the battlefield. And within that main dialogue, he is narrating the dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. So the dialogue of Krishna and Arjuna within the dialogue of Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra. And when did this happen? Actually, Sanjaya narrated this. I mean, whatever happened in the war after the first 10 days of the war. Sanjaya was not even in Kurukshetra, not even in the palace. So Dhritarashtra was a blind person. And he was responsible for the war. In fact, he is the main culprit for the war between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. Not even Duryodhana. So why not even Duryodhana? Because he was the one who fed Duryodhana with anger, hatred, jealousy. So all those things that made Duryodhana to become what he did. So to become what he ultimately ended up being. So the main reason for Duryodhana to be like that was Dhritarashtra. Because he had a grudge. He was the eldest of the two brothers. And rightfully he should have got the kingdom. But because he was blind, the kingdom was given to Pandu. So, and the custom is that, so only the son of a king, so has to become the king. So that is why Yudhishthira was rightfully the heir to the throne. But Dhritarashtra's grudge was, okay, I'm blind. So you have not given me the kingdom. But still he got it anyway, because Pandu died early. But his grudge was, why are you taking away the rightful, right over the throne. So the legal right over the throne for my son. So if I am the eldest, so then the kingdom should also go to my son, even if my brother was ruling in my place. So that is a certain kind of logic. So you cannot completely fault with that. But still he raised Arjuna with all the qualities that do not befit a king. So Duryodhana turned out to be a person who was not fit for the role. So Yudhishthira was the rightful person who was fit for the role. So he always had a grudge. So he was the main culprit for the war between these two cousin brothers. So Sanjaya. Dhritarashtra could not see it. And Vyasa, what he did was, Vyasa was a very accomplished yogi. So he had some miraculous powers. And then he told Dhritarashtra, so even though you have been blind throughout your life, so I can give you a divine vision, a divine eyesight, with which you can see whatever is happening in the war. So there was another reason behind Vyasa offering this to Dhritarashtra. Because Vyasa also wanted Dhritarashtra to see the destruction for which he has been the main reason. So Vyasa wanted Dhritarashtra to realize what a disaster he has created. So he said, I will give you the eyesight. So it is like a distance vision. So he is not in the battlefield, but sitting in his palace. So like a live telecast. So like we see it on TV. So like a live telecast, so he could see whatever was happening. And it is not just a live telecast. He could also hear whatever people were talking amongst themselves. So the conversations, the intimate conversations. So all that he could see. In fact, it could have been a great help. So if he could hear everything, then he could also eavesdrop on the plans of the Pandavas. And then he could tell the Kauravas that this is what they are planning, you please prepare for it. So all that he could have done. So this was all, not ethical, but still he could have done that if he wanted. But he did not do that. So that was not the way they lived their life. So even though they could have, they always had their individual issues, so individual insecurities, complexes, but still they tried to adhere to dharma. So that is why the first word is also dharma kshetra. Dhritarashtra did not do that, and he said, I don't want this, and let it be given to Sanjaya. So Sanjaya had the vision. But still Sanjaya also did not stay in the palace and just give a running commentary to Dhritarashtra. The first 10 days of the war, Sanjaya was also in the battlefield. So right in the middle of the battlefield. So he returned to Hastinapura only after the first 10 days. Only after Bhishma fell. Bhishma was the main person for the Kauravas. In fact, Dhritarashtra, he was so confident that Duryodhana cannot be defeated. Even though he knew that it's very difficult for Duryodhana to win, but he thought Bhishma would always be a shield, always act like a shield for Duryodhana. Because to kill Duryodhana, the Pandavas have to get past Bhishma. So the 10th day, up to the 10th day, Bhishma worked huge havoc on the opponent army. But then he fell. So we all know that story. And after Bhishma fell, Sanjaya went back to the palace to convey the news to Dhritarashtra. So just see the difference in people's lifestyles from today to how it existed. So even today and how it existed 30 years back or 40 years back. Even 30 years back. So even then we had at least a postal service. So we could communicate with each other. So now we are living in the world of instant communication. And Dhritarashtra is a king. And even he came to know what is happening in the battlefield only 10 days after it happened. So nowadays we cannot even imagine how people could live like that. So we want to contact people immediately right at this instant. In fact, there are some people who call on the mobile. The first time someone doesn't pick up. So generally it is good etiquette to understand that the person is busy in something else or so away from the mobile. So the person will call back or you can call back later. But there are some people who keep trying immediately again and again. 3 times, 4 times. Actually, that's ridiculous. So why would you force yourself on someone like that? When the person is not picking up, then naturally it means that the person is busy in something else. So that is the kind of impatience that we have. And look at the difference here. So Dhritarashtra, he got to know that what happened in the war first 10 days. And again, it is not some situation, something happening somewhere. It is a life and death situation. So his sons could have died. So maybe many of them died in the first 10 days also. But it was not conveyed to him at all. So and then after the 10th day, Sanjaya went back to Dhritarashtra. And then Dhritarashtra asks him, so how do we know that this is all in the past because of this one word? Because Dhritarashtra says, Kim Akurvata Sanjaya. Akurvata is past tense. So what were they doing? Hey Sanjaya. So what were they doing? What who were doing? Mamakaha Pandavaha Chaiva. So look at his own personal preferences here. In fact, he's supposed to have been impartial between the sons of his brothers and his own sons. So he should have been objective and given the throne to whoever is eligible for it. But here he says, Mamakaha Pandavaha. That means my people and the Pandavas. So even in the way he says, so his affinity for paternal affinity for his own sons, that comes out, which is the reason. So that kind of partial attitude is the reason for the war. Mamakaha Pandavaha. So why are they called Pandavaha? Because they are the sons of Pandus. Why are they called Kauravas? Because they belong to the Kuru dynasty. So to the Kuru lineage. In fact, the Pandavas could also be called Kauravas, technically. They belong to the same lineage. But in the Mahabharata, so that is how the distinction is made. So the Kauravas, generally that was given to the sons of Dhritarashtra and Pandava, the sons of Pandus. Sometimes the Kauravas were also called Dhartarashtra, sons of Dhritarashtra. So that is another name. See, this is how they could, there could be various names, and it's always necessary if one wants to understand. It's always important to understand the meaning of these names. For that, you need some Sanskrit. So it's all a complete package. So the sons of Dhritarashtra could be called Dhartarashtraha. Sons of Pandus are called Pandavas. So Mamakaha Pandavaha cha eva. Kim akurvata Sanjaya. So what were they doing? Where? Dharma kshetre Kuru kshetre. So dharma. So it's a very important word. So this whole Mahabharata is a treatise on dharma. So we have to look at the meaning of the word dharma. Dharma, the word is a pretty complicated word. It has so many meanings. So dharma can mean values. Dharma can mean lifestyle. Dharma can mean justice. Dharma can mean ethics. So dharma can mean property, attribute. And then dharma can mean loss. And then dharma can mean religion. Dharma can mean morality. Dharma can mean punya papa. And dharma can mean right. So dharma can have so many different meanings. So it is very difficult to translate the word dharma. And only one who has a very, very good understanding of the subject matter, that person alone can translate the word dharma appropriately in a given context. Otherwise, so this understanding of dharma, meaning of dharma, could give rise to a lot of confusion. So because it has so many different meanings. So we have to understand what is the meaning of dharma kshetra here. So it is a compound word. So the word dharma is not used separately. So what is the meaning of the word dharma kshetra? Even dharma kshetra, when you look at it grammatically, it could have different meanings. The general meaning that looks obvious is the place of dharma. So that is the meaning that looks obvious when you see the word. So dharma kshetre. But it could have different shades of meaning. So that is a samasa, shashti tatpurusha samasa. Dharmasya kshetram, dharma kshetram. And it could also be dharmaya praptam kshetram. A place that they have obtained for performing their duties. So here dharma is taken as duty. Or it could be dharmena praptam kshetram. a place they have, the war that they have got because of adhering to a life of dharma. That is dharmena praptam kshetram. Or it is for dharmaya praptam kshetram. It is for the sake of performing one's duties, dharma. Or it could be dharma kshetra. So dharmasya kshetram, dharma kshetram. So a place of dharma. So that whole battlefield. So all these meanings are possible. So why dharmena praptam kshetram or dharmaya praptam kshetram? So that which has been obtained because of adhering to a life of dharma, or for the sake of carrying out their dharma. Because dharma was the intrinsic building block of the whole culture. So if one has to define Vedic culture in one word, then it would mean adhering to a life of dharma. So adhering to what should be done and avoiding what should not be done. So that is the broad definition. Because if I do what should be done, then I gain punya. So I gain credit for what I do. So I gain some positive desirable result. If I do what should not be done, then I incur papa. So I incur an undesirable result. So who decides what is dharma, what is not dharma? Again, dharma is adhering to an universal order. Dharma is adhering to universal values. So values that are common to all human beings. The basic values appear very simple, but when you start applying it or thinking about it, then they are quite complicated. Just adhering to the truth. So if you start thinking about whether I am adhering to the truth all the time, in all the places, so then you have to really also do some soul searching. So then adhering to what I should be doing based on my own role, the role that I have been given, or the stage of life I am in, I'm a student, or I'm a family man, family person, or I'm a retired person. So, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and then sannyasi. So, each of these stages, there are duties clearly defined as to what should be done, what one should do while one is in any of these stages. And also with regard to the category of the society I belong to. Whether I am a Brahmana, I am a Kshatriya, I am a Vaishya, I am a Shudra. So all these different classifications, normally as they are understood now, they are presented as discriminatory classifications. But they were not meant to be. So they were meant to actually preserve the structure of the society in a certain order. So that there is no discrimination against anyone, but everyone lives a dignified and honorable life. So there is sufficient respect for each other, for whatever Everyone does, irrespective of the profession the person is engaged in. That is how it was supposed to be. This whole idea was of discrimination was inserted by the British. Even though there may have been certain incidents, so in certain places, so which may not have been right, but broadly speaking, so this classification was only meant to preserve the structure in the society, and it really helped in doing that for thousands of years. So Krishna himself will say in the fourth chapter of the Gita, Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam Gunakarma Vibhagashah. So I am the creator of these four classifications. So why would the Lord himself create these classifications which are discriminatory in nature? That is silly. So it's not possible. So here dharma is the underlying basis on which the society was structured. So it was a very beautiful system. So each of the person, there was a lot of flexibility to move around, but the general framework was clearly defined. So that is why here Dhritarashtra says dharma kshetra. And according to Dhritarashtra, so rightfully the kingdom should go to his son. That was his understanding of dharma. In fact, he also understood the other side, but his own personal affection for his son. So that made him justify the other point of view also, that why should it go to the Pandavas? Why should my son not rule? So that was his understanding. So he thought even fighting the war, he allowed it if he wanted. He could have really stopped the war because he was the king. And he had to pass the executive order. So if he did not pass the executive order, then the war would not happen. But he allowed it to happen. So that is why his version understanding of dharma, this is what happens in the real world also. Sometimes our understanding of what should be done and what should not be done is the problem. So because of my own personal preferences, because of my own personal gain, I justify whatever I do. So I say this is my dharma. So in fact, my dharma could be something else. So this could, whatever I'm doing, need not be my main dharma. So it could be a subset of something larger. So something, a bigger picture. So in fact, my own duty as a father, duty as a mother, duty as a son, duty as a daughter, that could also be something that is part of a bigger picture. So this may not be the most important thing that, only important thing that I should be doing. Okay, all these roles are important, but all these roles also fit into a larger scheme of things. So that larger scheme of things is understood only when I understand dharma in a holistic way. So then I get a clear picture of what I should do and what I should not do. So in my profession, in my interactions with the outside world, so in at every level, so I have a very clear picture of what I should do and what I should not do. So here, very appropriately, Dhritarashtra starts the war, starts the verse with the word dharma kshetra. But from the larger picture, so according to what is the right thing to be done, then Duryodhana was not fit. That is why Krishna also, he was favoring the Pandavas, not because of his personal connection with the Pandavas, but because they were on the right side and Duryodhana was on the wrong side. So what we need to understand is the whole of the Gita and the whole of the Mahabharata itself. So it is an elaborate treatise on what is dharma. Mahabharata talks about various topics. It talks about administration. It talks about politics. Talks about economics. It talks about warfare. It talks about psychology. Lot of psychology. It talks about rulership. So again, dharma, varna dharma, ashrama dharma. So Mahabharata is a comprehensive treatise on so many different topics. And Gita is the essence of that. So very appropriately, here it is started with Dharma Kshetra. So he asks, Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre. Because both sides, so that place is called Kurukshetra. Even now it is called Kurukshetra. So this is on the way from Delhi to Rishikesh. So that Kurukshetra. So in that Kurukshetra, Samavetaha Yuyutsavaha. So Samavetaha means Samavitaha. So people who have gathered. So these people who have gathered. How many people have gathered? Actually millions. So not just not even thousands. So it is millions of people have gathered. Hundreds of thousands of people have gathered. We will see the number also. So that is also described in the Mahabharata. So how many people, how many animals, so we're all fighting in the war. So samavetaha yuyutsavaha. Yuyutsavaha means those who are desirous of war. Yodhum ichavaha is yuyutsavaha. So those who are desirous of war. See, he is actually shirking off his responsibility. He is actually responsible for the war. But he is saying these people are desirous of war. As though the Pandavas and the Kauravas themselves, they are so desirous of war, they want to fight. And so they are fighting. In fact, the Pandavas try to avoid the war as much as possible. So first they ask for the kingdom. So then they asked for at least five villages. They asked for at least five houses. Duryodhana refused everything. So they were not desirous of war. So they at least wanted to live an honorable life. At least five houses you give us. So Duryodhana was not responsible. Willing to give. So the main responsibility does not rest with the Pandavas and Kauravas, but it is with Dhritarashtra. But still here he says yuyutsavaha, yodhum ichavaha, yuyutsavaha. So what are they? What were they doing on the battlefield? So this is what Dhritarashtra asks. Then Sanjaya responds. Sanjaya uvacha drishtva tu pandavanikam vyudhan duryodhanastada acharyam upasangamya raja vachanam abravit. So, drishtvatu pandava anikam. So, as I said, huge number of people, animals, they had all gathered to fight the war. In fact, if you think about the number of people who were involved, it is mind-boggling how they were able to organize the resources for so many people to assemble in one place. So how many people? There were 18 Akshauhinis. 18 Akshauhinis in the war. 11 Akshauhinis in the on the side of the Pandavas. On the side of the Kauravas, sorry. 11 Akshauhinis on the side of the Kauravas. And 7 on the side of the Pandavas. So already the Pandavas were outnumbered by the Kauravas. So what does one Akshauhini comprise of? You can go on Google also. It's available on Wikipedia. So I will just mention it. So Akshauhini, go and search for AKSHAUHINI, Akshauhini. So then you will get the numbers there. So the numbers are like this. So one Akshauhini is like 21,870 chariots, 21,870 elephants, 65,610 horses, 3 times of 21,870, and then 5 times of 21,870 foot soldiers, infantry. So, chariots, elephants, horses, and foot soldiers, they are in the ratio of 1:1:3:5. So that is the ratio. So 1 is 21,870. So 21,870 chariots. So each chariot has one horse. So many horses. And then no, 21,870 chariots and as many elephants, and 3 times that number is the number of horses. So some chariots may have one horse, some chariots may have more also. Like the chariot of Arjuna, generally it is presented as having 5 horses. So some people could have had 5. And some people could have just been sitting on horses. So like that, so there were so many horses, so many foot soldiers. 5 times 21,870 is the number of foot soldiers. So like this, 18 times were the total number. Just imagine the amount of noise. So in that place, people would go deaf. So nowadays we have these noise cancelling headphones and all. So to avoid noise from outside. So what kind of noise cancelling headphone will you have to avoid the noise? In fact, noise was a very big instrument of war. So the more noise you make to create more fear. So you make the elephants shout. So then naturally, so there is a certain fear that is created because it gives you a shudder, sudden noise. So it you get scared. So here it says, and each day they came out with a different formation. It was not one formation. How were all these elements arranged in the war? So all these formations were studied in the Dhanurveda. So this is what people used to study. So the main person, the commander in chief, he decides on the formation and then he has to communicate it to all the people. So just think about this. How did they manage this communication? Not like today. They could not send an SMS. So they cannot send a mass mail. So mass distribute the information. So they must have had some way of communicating between all these people. And then people should also follow the rules. So the of the formation. So, and imagine the infrastructure required to house all these people, provide for shelter, not just people, animals, and then food for the animals. Imagine the amount of people, the background infrastructure, the supporting infrastructure and resources that might have been needed to carry out something like this, an activity like this. So we cannot even imagine. So fighting a war was a massive, humongous activity. So here, that is what is said. Sanjaya says, Drishtva Pandava Anikam, the formation of the Pandavas. The first thing that the people at the top management, Duryodhana and other people, the commander in chief. So the first thing that they come and see is how is the army arranged today? And then they have to respond appropriately. In fact, because of a certain arrangement of the war, of the people, that is why they were able to kill Abhimanyu, Chakravyuha. So that is one formation. So here Duryodhana comes, Sanjaya says, Raja Vachanam Abravit. Here Raja means Duryodhana. So he wants, Dhritarashtra was the king. So he was the driving force behind the Dhritarashtra. So Sanjaya calls Duryodhana himself as the Raja. Excuse me. Drishtvatu Pandava Anikam. First he says Duryodhana also. Vyudham Duryodhanaha Tada. Duryodhanaha Drishtva Pandava Anikam Vyudham. So the army of the Pandavas in a certain formation. Acharyam Upasangamya. So Acharya. So he had many Acharyas. But the main Acharya was Drona. The first Acharya for them was Kripa. In fact, Bhishma also has taught the Pandavas and Kauravas. So he could also be called the Acharya. So he went near Drona, because Drona was one of the greatest archers of that era. And he was one of the key members on which Duryodhana depended upon. And these people, because of their own understanding of dharma, they decided to take sides in the war. All this is, we all know the story. So the story of Mahabharata, all of us know. But when you look at the background of these people, then you understand the considerations that played a big role in people deciding which side of the war they had to fight in. So Duryodhana's understanding of dharma, because the Kauravas had done him a favor, Dhritarashtra, etc. Duryodhana, he felt Duryodhana has done him and his son a favor by giving them respect and even giving a small kingdom. So that is why he is duty bound to fight for Duryodhana. they did not look at the bigger picture. They were restricted to their own individual dharma. So always dharma, that's why we understand from the Mahabharata that the individual dharma should always be looked at from a higher standpoint. The individual dharma should not be the only criterion. So it should, from a bigger picture, so individual dharma makes more sense. So they all knew, they were all trying to convince Duryodhana not to fight the war. But Duryodhana did not listen. But even though he did not listen, still these people felt duty bound to fight for Duryodhana. So Drona was there. So here this verse says, so Acharyam Upasangamya. So having gone near his Acharya. Acharyam Upasangamya. Raja Vachanam Abravit. So he spoke. Duryodhana spoke. So now next verse should have actually started with Duryodhana Uvacha. But conventionally it is not done because probably they did not want Duryodhana's name to be included in the Bhagavad Gita. So why include Duryodhana's name? So this fellow was the worst culprit. So why say his name? So without saying his name, just the verse is there. But technically it should have begun with Duryodhana Uvacha. So he says, what was said by Duryodhana. Pashyaitam Panduputranam viewed. Acharya Mahatim Chamum Vyodham Drupada Putrena Tavasishyena Dhimata. So every word, Duryodhana tries to taunt Drona. Because that is the way he tried to keep pushing them. Because these people were all very, they had a lot of value for honor and respect. So Kshatriyas especially. Even now, in India, some places, sometimes you have these what they call honor killings. So they feel, even though it is not right, even though it is not justified, definitely unjustified. So the underlying reason is that these people valued whatever was their understanding of honor and respect. Their understanding may be wrong, but people still feel that honor is a very important, is the most important thing in life. Respect is the most important thing. So more than money, wealth, all kinds of wealth. So respect and the status is more important. So here, Duryodhana keeps taunting all these people at every possible opportunity. So Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, all these people. So that is how he was pushing them because they had a value for honor and he used it for his own benefit. So here also he is taunting in this verse, if you look at the meaning. So we understand that he is really taunting Drona. Hey Acharya, he says, Acharya, etam panduputranam mahatim chamum pashya. So look at the great army. Look at the wonderful army of the Pandavas. So he also wants to keep Drona on his toes as though he already was not. So he says, we are not fighting some ordinary opponents here. So we are fighting formidable people here. So people who are fighting on the side of Pandavas, starting with Arjuna. Arjuna, Bhishma, I mean Arjuna, Bhima, and then Drupada Putra, who is Drishtadyumna, and then Virat Raja. So all these people, so many very highly accomplished warriors. So all these people were standing there on the other side of the army. He says, Drona, please look at them. As though Drona was not looking at them. And then he says, Drupada putrena tava shishyena dhimata vyudham pashya. So that formation that has been arranged by the son of Drupada. He was also another great warrior, Drupada, and his son, two sons. So one of them was a man woman. So Shikhandi and Dhrishtadyumna. So again, if we look at the reason as to why these people were fighting the war, so they were also connected to the war in a different way, primarily for killing Drona. So that is why he goes to Drona and then specifically mentions Dhrishtadyumna. Because Drona knows that Drupada has created this son mainly for killing him. So, and Drona also knows that he will finally have to die at the hands of Dhrishtadyumna. So Duryodhana feels if Dhrishtadyumna is mentioned, then immediately Drona will become alert. So Drona will, his BP will shoot up. His adrenaline will get pumped up. So he will get all charged up, worked up for the war. So that's why he mentions. So we'll stop here and then we'll continue. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.